Good morning. How are we doing? Good to see you today. We had a baptism first service. A couple people got baptized. Pretty exciting. Good stuff. Sorry you missed it, but it's all right. We got back from a couple of trips. We had the opportunity to go to Utah and see our daughter Ashley for a few days, and then got back and then headed to Banff, Canada for a few days up there. So just gorgeous stuff and good to be back. Thanks to Pastor Matt for covering for me for the last couple of weeks. So appreciate him and doing that. Let me give you an update on building project. It is starting tomorrow. So bright and early tomorrow morning. So next week when you come to church, there will only be two ways to get into the top level of the building. One will be this door on my right. So all of that will still be there. And then the other will be on the east side of the old building. There'll be a ramp and a door that goes into my old office. And then you'll come through my office into that hallway and then through the youth room like you always have done. And so those are the entryways. And if everybody can kind of park out front until we get that filled, and then we're going to have limited parking on the east side of the building because they're going to bring in a bunch of, I don't know, like construction stuff, right? Whatever they bring in. And so they're going to kind of take over that part of the parking lot there. So exciting times here at our church. At the same time, a little bit disruptive. So let's have some grace with one another as we move into this project. We'll be fine. Message for today. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them out. Turn to Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 26, and I will probably take on 27-31. That's bonus time, but we get there, you'll figure that out. We're in the middle of studying about spiritual gifts. Paul writes and teaches on three chapters of spiritual gifts, chapters 12, 13, and 14. And this morning we're going to see God's wisdom and how he arranges the body of Christ. And so when you think about the human body, it is like a masterpiece of God's creative power and his wisdom. And I think all we can do is stand in awe and wonder of it. Like the human body is so amazing. The psalmist David said to God, addressing him directly in Psalms 139, verses 13 and 14, "For you have formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." So David was this remarkable guy, right? He's a shepherd, he's a soldier, he's a hero, he's a poet, he's a king. And with that in mind, of a trained biologist and the skill of a poet, right, David declares that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. Like the workings of the human body are stunning in their design and execution. And like we know far more probably than David ever did about how we're made. We know that the body is made up of a diverse number of systems. We know the body is made up of a staggering number of diverse cells. We know about the skeletal system and the nervous system, right? The circulatory system and the respiratory system, the digestive system, the muscular system, and there's probably more than that. And each one of those systems has a unique role to play in our survival in this world. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Paul Brand, who is the pioneer of developing tendon transfer techniques in the use of people's hands who had leprosy. And one of the books that Dr. Brand wrote was called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And in the book, he talks about a concert pianist by the name of Arthur Rubinstein. And so he goes in and he wants to watch Rubinstein play Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, right? And so he calls the performance a ballet of the fingers. And he goes on to say it's the ballet of the fingers because of the complexity of how the ligaments and the joints and the tendons and the nerves and the muscles all work together for Arthur to play the piano the way that he does. And when you begin to think about it from the standpoint of that, it helps us be filled with amazement at the ability of Rubinstein to play Beethoven's work and the wisdom of God to create us to be able to do that. To take Simone Biles, for example, Paris Olympics. So I'm watching on the TV. Simone's one of the best, if not the best, gymnast in American history. So I'm watching, right? I watch her do a backflip on a 4-inch wide beam. And I marvel at how she gets everything kind of lined up just right. And then I think about her brain as she's taking in constant information, like spatial information, rotational information, balance information. Do you know there are 200 different categories of nerve cells that have to be trained through thousands of repetitions that enable her to stick that landing at the end of her performance? It's amazing. Well, with all of that in mind, let's take a look at our passage this morning. And I want to start with this, the unity and the diversity of the body of Christ. Get your Bibles, turn them out, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Here we go. Oh, take your note sheets out too, by the way. Human body that we're looking at today is an analogy. It's just one of several analogies of the body of Christ. Other examples of the bride of Christ or a family, right? We are brothers and sisters in Christ. A nation. There's a lot of different images. But the analogy that is used here and in Romans 12 stresses unity and diversity. So that's where we're headed today. God's wisdom in arranging the parts of the body just as he wants them to be, right? This is one body, many members. Like every born-again person, every person who hears the gospel of Christ, trusts in Christ, believes it with repentance and faith, becomes a born-again Christian, right? He says instantly a member of the body of Christ. One body, many members, verse 14. For the it's going to be one of those kind of mornings. That's what takes a couple of weeks off does for you, right? Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Let's go back for a second to verses 12 and 13, which also makes this point that the body is a unit, even though it's made up of many parts, right? They form one body. Verses 12 and 13 says this, for just as the body is one, has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Like what an awesome picture of the unity in the body of Christ. And Paul is drilling down on this idea of oneness, this unity. Right? He does it throughout the chapter. Look at verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So big picture here. God is not doing many works around the world. God is doing one grand and unified work around the world. Does that make sense? And he does it through the power of the gospel. He does it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks about it in John 10, right? The Good Shepherd passage. He says there is one flock, one shepherd. He says, go out, gather people that are not of this group, not of the Jews, right? And there will be one flock, one shepherd. Then later in chapter 11 of the book of John, it says that Jesus died for the scattered children of God, bringing them together and making them one. Right? How great of an image is that? Jesus dying on the cross to make all people one through faith in Christ. Because we're all coming from diverse backgrounds, so this unity that Jesus talks about is even more vital for us to understand and to grasp and to take in and to apply. Unity in one body, but diversity in function. We all have a role to play in the final perfection of the body of Christ. One of the purposes of spiritual gifts is the maturity and the perfection of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so when the gifted offices work right and the saints are properly equipped, Christian maturity increases and there's a greater intimacy in this experience of God. And we know that the Corinthians were a pretty messed up church, right? We've said that all along. There's a lot of chaos in their worship service. We'll find more about that in chapter 14. And I just think that their pagan background led to this kind of chaotic kind of worship style, right? Inside the church, there was a lot of people that had a lot of pride, right? And Paul addresses them over and over. We've talked about this before, and we're going to drill down this morning on this topic of gifts. And it seemed like the gifted people in the church was boasting about their gifts over like the less gifted people, if there's such a thing. And as we learned last week, right, the only thing we really should boast about is Christ and what he's done for us. And so pride created this fracture in the church. And Paul wants them to understand how much they really need one another. And so he works both sides of the equation here in our passage. Let's move on to point number two on your outline. Don't think too lowly of your gifts. Right? So this is a feeling that, or a sense that you have your spiritual gifts, and you're kind of feeling like you're not worthy of all that. Yeah, or you think things like the body of Christ doesn't need me. Or maybe you have a self-sufficiency thinking, and you think, I don't need the body of Christ, so take that, right? Paul is talking to both sides in this text. So let's first talk about those who think lowly about their gifts, right? Verses 15 to 19, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. And if we're all a single member, where would the body be? And I really think the key verse here is verse 19. If we all were a single member, where would the body be, right? The ultimate focus should be on God. Our ultimate focus as a church is about God's goodness, God's wisdom, his kindness. Like, God didn't mess up when he made you. So we have to think rightly about our gifts. You have to think rightly about yourself. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. We're going to unpack that verse in a moment. So put that in your back pocket for a second. We need to think of ourselves properly. So how do we think about our gifts is how we'll function in the body of Christ. So if our thinking is messed up, then that's problematic. Right? And in these verses that I just read, Paul is addressing the lowly. Those that think they do not belong to the body. They think that the body doesn't need them because they don't have this gift or they don't have that gift or whatever. And they're like, my gift's not important, right? I don't have any contribution to make. And I'm just saying that the attitude you have towards your gift is vital. So just because the foot's not the hand doesn't mean it's not a part of the body. Like perhaps the foot is jealous of the hand, right? Right? Why not? I mean, think about the foot. Like in our culture, every day covered up by socks and shoes, right? Except for if you're my wife, Trudy, right? She wears flip-flops 363 days out of the year. I'm actually looking for flip-flops with spikes on them so she can wear them in the wintertime, right? Our feet get all dirty. They get all smelly, right? But take the hand. Like the hand is visible. It's elegant. The hand's got some skills. Well, like the hand, Michelangelo sculpts out of a block of marble into something magnificent. Like the foot can't do that kind of stuff. But by comparison, we're very dependent on our feet. Right? I know for me, I learned this very early on in life, how dependent I was on my feet. At the age of 10, I had major surgery on both of my feet because I got to the point the pain was so great I couldn't walk as a 10-year-old. Well, I couldn't walk. So now I'm getting to be 60. Not getting to be, I am. Right? And now I'm kind of reverting back to where I'm having trouble walking. Like I can't walk around the block around our house without my feet hurting. I can ride a bike 28 miles, but I can't walk around the block. Right? So I get it. How important feet are. And just because feet aren't as graceful and beautiful as the hand, they're crucial to the body. They're necessary to the health and the function of the body. So here's my point. If your spiritual gift is maybe a little bit more obscure, but or maybe behind the scenes, you still need to think of yourself as an essential piece of the puzzle to the health of our church, just as much as those that have visible gifts. Are you tracking with me? So then Paul moves on to the issue of the ear and the eye. Imagine the ear being a little jealous of the eye, right? You can see that. The eyes sparkle. They're radiant with light. They're entrusted with an important job to do. Like we know we get more than 80% of knowledge about the surrounding world through eyesight, whereas only 13% comes through hearing, right? The eyes are beautiful. You got different colors. You got blue eyes and brown eyes and green eyes and all everything else, right? Like, I don't think couples, when they first start dating or they're first married, like the lady says to her guy, hey, can you describe my ears? Like, that doesn't happen. Right? No, what does she say? She goes, what color is my eyes? Right, like I can tell you, my wife never asked me, hey, what do you think about my ears? Right, like that never happened. I mean, ears aren't the most pleasant thing to look at for the most part. But Paul says to the ear, you're absolutely an important part of the body. The sense of hearing is entrusted to this strange looking ear. He says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Well, like, which is kind of weird, right? Just think about it. Here's an image for you. We're all just a bunch of eyes rolling around. Just think about that. It's unable to hear. You can't walk. You're just rolling. Like that's all you're doing. So much as eyesight is important, the sense of hearing is also important to a full, healthy life, right? I mean, think about the enjoyment of listening to music or worship. Then think about a mother who hears the cry of her newly born baby. Or when your child says, "I love you, mommy," right? That is good stuff right there. The best of all is when you hear the gospel. Remember when you heard the gospel for the first time, right? Like, how sweet was that? Could you imagine not being able to hear or speak the language? It's incredible that God has arranged our ear to be able to hear. So the ear doesn't get too arrogant. Just think of the whole body wearing ear. Where would the sense of smell be? Like, God has given us this nose with a function to smell, and aroma is a big part of the pleasure of eating. Just think of the smell of chocolate chip cookies baking. Are you kidding me? Right? Think of the smell of freshly cut grass or a spring shower or flowers in the garden. Right? Those are pretty good smells, right? Now, all of the body's diverse capabilities combined make this full, healthy experience in the world. That's Paul's point. No, they're not all equal in their impact on our lives. And it would be terrible to lose your eyesight or hearing or any of them that I've mentioned. But can't you just see God's wisdom and how he has arranged the parts of the body, and we should celebrate the wisdom and the goodness of God in all of that? The issue is, are you thinking properly about your spiritual gifts? Or are you questioning the goodness of God or the wisdom of God or the power of God when it comes to how he has arranged you as a part of the body of Christ? So let me just drop some application here in the middle of the message and speak to you as a member of this church. New Creation Fellowship. I don't know each one of your situations by any means, but if you're here today and you have not invested yourself much in ministry, maybe you feel exactly like what we're addressing here this morning, that your gifts aren't worth discussing or if they're not really of any value. That's exactly what Paul's talking about here. And maybe you don't have the gift of whatever you think is all that and blah, blah, blah. Paul says that God has gifted you and put you exactly where he wants you to be. You are a part of this body, this local church. And you still need to be fully functional and able to do the mission that God has for us here in North Spokane. We can't accomplish the mission if every member does not use the gifts to do the work of the ministry. You tracking? You get me? So I want to encourage you this morning to find a ministry and do it based on your spiritual gifts. If you don't know what your gift is, we teach how to find that information in our 301 class, which is coming up here shortly. So if you need to do that, please sign up for that. All right, point number three on your outline today. Don't think too highly of your gifts. Now let's talk about the other side of the equation. And this is like those that think they're all that and then some. Don't think too highly of your gifts. Look with me at verses 20 through 22. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Right? The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again, the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are what? Indispensable. Indispensable. Now that's powerful stuff right there. Now I want to bring in the verse that I alluded to briefly into the mix right here, Romans 12:3, because it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Right? He is talking directly about spiritual gifts. Paul is attacking pride because pride is so offensive to God. In the Corinthian church, it seems like those who had the upfront gifts, those that had the visible gifts, that they were saying to the rest of the body, like we really don't need you. And I'm thinking to myself, how crazy is that, right? And Paul's arguing that the appearance can be deceiving. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. The word indispensable translated as urgent and necessary. Those parts of the body are vital. That's what he's arguing. And Paul is saying that the church can't function without you and without you and without you and without you. We cannot function the way God wants us to function. All right, point number four. The honor given to every member of the body. So he goes from that and he goes to verses 22 to 25 to talk about honor given to every member of the body. This is what he says about it. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker, indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, with our more presentable parts do not require. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, yet there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So this is a little bit tricky here, right? I'm not going to lie to you. Honor is a precious thing, right? Understand this morning, we worship God, but at times it is appropriate to honor people, right? To give words of affirmation. Remember the beginning of the book. What was the problem with the factions and divisions, right? I follow Paul. I follow Cephas, I follow Apollos, right? And Paul answered that by asking the question, is Christ divided? And he's arguing for the unity of the body, not the elevation of superstars to a high level of this becoming a faction leader. The unity of the body of Christ puts an end to this disproportional honor giving. And we see it in our day as well, right? With these super gifted pastors, sometimes not their fault because people just put them on a pedestal, but sometimes they seek it out, right? Anyway, we just have to be very careful in this area of giving honor. John Calvin was a theologian who was admired across Europe, one of the great Christian leaders, and he wrote, I mean, the guy like writes letters to kings and books that are game changers for people, and as he neared his death, he gave very specific instructions on how he was to be buried. It was to be at night, and it was to be in an unmarked grave. And the reason for that is that he didn't want his grave to become a shrine where people would come from all over the place to give him inappropriate honor. And so he had this sense of his own place in the world, and he's very humble about it. And the point that Paul's driving at here is that every single member of the body, no matter how they get treated in this world, is valuable and should be honored appropriately. And in reality, the honor that we should be seeking is for God to say to us on Judgment Day and for all eternity, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in the little things. Now I trust you with much and enter into the joy of your master. That's the honor that we should be seeking. Right? All right, point number five. We're getting there. The unity of the body in both suffering and honor. Now, that's what we should be living for, that God would be pleased with us and share in the joy for all eternity. And Paul wants everyone in the body of Christ to show honor to each other and concern for one another and not let pride divide the body of Christ. So verse 24 and 25, again, say this, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Drop down to verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So in those verses, what we see is what? Both suffering and honor. Suffering and honor. All right, in the final few seconds that I have here this morning, I want to not skip these last few verses, verses 27 through 31. Not in your notes. This is like bonus time. Moving on to chapter 13. Not next week. Next week is Mission Sunday, and then we'll start chapter 13. So I want to talk about these verses for a moment. Verse 27, 28, Paul lists these eight offices, the areas of ministry. He lists apostles and prophets and teachers and miracle workers and those that can heal, those who help others, those who are gifted in ministration, those who speak in tongues. And then he talks about the limits of those, each group there, or at least six of them out of the eight. He says, not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are teachers, not all work miracles, not all have the gift of healing, not all speak in tongues or interpret tongues, right? And then he says this in verse 31, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. So here's what we know. We know the Holy Spirit gives the gifts, and it is good and it is right to desire them and to ask for them, all in the submission of the plan of God. And Paul will explain this more excellent way in 1 Corinthians 13. And it has a focus on love and not the gifts themselves. The gifts are merely ways we express and receive love from God and love to one another. And you kind of think of them as these containers. And what's in the container? What's in the container is love. And it's far more important. We'll see this in chapter 13 in a couple of weeks, all right? That's where we're headed. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word this morning. God, would you just help us to surrender our lives to you? God, and as we do that, as we make you first place in our life, would you use us? Use the gifts that you have blessed us with for your glory. And God, I want to just say thank you for placing me here in this local body of Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful for the unity that we enjoy. Thank you that we're a part of the wider body of Christ as well. And so I pray that as a church, we may learn to use our spiritual gifts for the benefit of the whole body. And Father, I rejoice that we're one in Christ. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.